Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, Egg Chasers, and welcome to another Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, a podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we're here to talk about domestic matters in a midweek domestic podcast. MWDP is here. It's the same three brethren, myself and Tim. Wagwan, JB.
Hello.
All right, Phil.
Hello.
We've done. If you're listening, thinking you're going to hear about Six Nations stuff, we've already done that. It's in our feed. It's the podcast before this one. So go listen to that.
Listen to the hashtag Downfall 2018 spectacular podcast. The crescendo of JB's hashtag Downfall 2018 so far.
Just the start of Downfall 2018, isn't it?
I believe it is. Yeah. I mean, when does Downfall 2018 conclude? Does Eddie Jones have to be fired or?
I think you've not been that specific.
Well,
you have been specific.
He said they're going to finish third in the Six Nations.
Yep.
And they're going to have a 3-0 loss to South Africa in the summer.
Yes.
So part one of that is had a significant boost after the weekend.
On the game that I said it would as well, which is interesting. So, yes.
Well, hold on. Not to go over the other podcast, because we're pretty much repeating ourselves.
Ireland and Scotland.
England will grind Scotland into dust, quote England, JB.
England lose to Scotland and Ireland in our pre-Six Nations predictions.
We didn't actually get into it last time, but JB also predicted wins for Italy and Wales on the previous...
England, so, Italy and Wales.
Were his predictions. He also predicted that James Haskell would start and Liam Williams would not start.
Yes.
So he was 0-5 on predictions for last week's podcast.
I wouldn't begrudge him. Because I think we were 1-5 for our Avicii Premiership predictions this weekend. Because it's been a bonkers week of rugby in general.
Some of these results. Furious, absolutely furious.
And even a couple of them.
When you say furious, is that just because your beloved Sale Sharks narrowly lost?
Well, because I had money on it as money.
Oh, just
well.
Money. Yeah. Money and love and pride.
I just simply can't believe it.
Sorry, Phil, what were you saying?
Well, two of the results that we did predict, Exeter and me and you predicted Exeter and Bath, Tim, they only happened thanks to last-minute tries as well.
On the conversion?
Yeah, they were both almost against the predictions that we made. So it was almost a completely bonkers weekend.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe there's something in here which we can all kind of coalesce around and agree on, i.e. something which we all would have predicted and we all agree on, which is Leicester Tigers, not them winning, but how good is Brendan O'Connor?
Brendan O'Connor had a great game.
Brendan O'Connor is the best in the league at what he does. As that link man.
I think you're probably right in terms of the handling and athleticism as an offside flanker.
So last year he was outstanding.
Yep.
One of the reasons he was outstanding is because Aaron Major had been playing a certain way, so he'd always pick up tries. He was always out on the wing. This year he's been a little bit limited by injury. It's a different system. But he was superb today. And he's so much more skillful than the next best guy.
And he creates instant balance. When you've got two whopping great big human beings in Sione Calamifoni and Mike Williams, someone like Brendan O'Connor instantly changes the dynamic, which is why I'm absolutely sure people will start talking about him in terms of an England squad soon, because he could add...
It's weird that we didn't talk about him last year as part of the England squad, though. Because
it is.
I thought he had a better season last year.
Well, he's missed a lot of this season, but he's only been back for maybe four weeks. and he's had an instant impact for Leicester, none more so than today. But albeit and you see, Mark Bakewell's going to get most of the credit, Leicester's new forwards coach, but it just felt like a different Leicester against Saracens.
It did. It felt like certainly a Leicester pack of old. They were very, very physical and, well, more than matched. A slightly depleted but still very experienced and very capable Saracens pack up front, which gave the platform for Tamua and Tuilagi and Tolusa-Vianu, who were all exceptional, to do the damage.
Just a quick one on this. You were at the game today, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Callum Clark, that looked like a bad injury. It looks like a broken wrist to me.
There was a few injuries, yeah. The Callum Clark went down, and then his replacement, Sione Vailanu, the guy they got in, the Tongan, he went off as well. And their replacement hooker, Scott Sperling, on the flank for 60 minutes, which it was Scout Britz's first game back, so I'm sure they weren't intending to give him a full 80. So, yeah, but that's only a slightly mitigating circumstance, because Leicester had their own injuries in the first minute, didn't they?
Yeah, who went down? I can't remember. Gareth Owen.
Gareth Owen, yeah.
And any news on him?
That looked bad. I think that was a dislocated shoulder.
Oh, was it? Because he was very still on the floor, and all the BT Sports people were talking about his ankle.
Yeah, we thought it looked like it could have been his knee or ankle, but then he got up, clutching his shoulder, and
big old boy, Gareth Owen.
He is, yeah, he's a big lad.
And he's been playing pretty well when he's had the opportunity this season.
So you were saying about Mark Bakewell then. It struck me, and you can give us a little glimpse behind the curtain here, Tim. Was there some chat pre-game about what Leicester were going to do? Or did you all just start saying they're going to play more direct because they played more direct?
No, I think the general chat before the game was what we'd heard. I think Brendan O'Connor did an interview in the week where he revealed, and then it's been widely reported since, because it's quite a good headline thing that you can grab hold of, is that Mark Bakewell had the forwards in at 6:30 in the morning doing a bit of boxing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They loved that. Yeah. They absolutely loved it. They loved it more than...
I mean, I mentioned it in the pre-game chat with Matt O'Connor. Nick Mullins mentioned it in the intro to the game when he's going through the teams. They mentioned it in the chat in the build-up, because it's a great story. It sounds like a great story.
Yeah,
the idea of rugby players going in and beating lumps out of each other in training.
I'm trying to think of other facts which people love to throw out there. Which
Nick Kennedy, mum's an author.
Well, that's the one. Annoyingly, the only one I can think of is Nick Kennedy's mum's an author, but that's not actually a well-known fact.
No, it's not. Just well, by you.
It is now.
Yeah.
Tommy Bell shoe owns a shoe company.
Yeah, it felt like it was fitting into that category today.
Yeah, but it was a great story. I mean, I did chat to George Shooter, who was there doing some commentary with TalkSport.
Okay.
And
head coach of Loughborough now.
Yeah. Along with, I think, is it Brett Deakins doing some stuff there? Anyway.
It would make sense if he was.
Because they're using a lot of their A-team players.
That's
there.
Right,
Because
yeah.
there's no A-team. I mean, that's a topic for a quieter weeks. No, it's not. There's no A-team league. There's hardly any games.
Oh, right.
So there's a lot of players out of under-20s who are not getting any games. So, George Shooter said that, I mean, he's a man who was part of the Leicester side where punch-ups on Tuesday contact sessions was just... the norm.
Just what you did.
And he said it feels a little bit manufactured, because when they used to have their punch ups, it would be George Shooter and Richard Cockerell would just be leathering each other, just standard, no gloves, no organised. It would just be a flare up in training. So he said, I wonder if it's a little bit contrived, a little bit manufactured. But he did say, well, you know, if it has the result, and it appears to have had a result.
So
it's given them an edge.
It did have a result.
Is Mark Bakewell bringing out like the boxing gloves, the wraps, and then presumably like a bucket of glue, and then there's like some nails you can put on your put on your gloves, or some broken glass, that kind of thing. You get to pick your weapons.
I suppose that is a good headline grabbing thing to talk about, but actually he talked after the game. When I chatted to him about a lot of the detail that he's been adding, and he was talking about our line-out maul defence was great, and we've been working on this and that. So I think he has been just going through quite a few fundamentals, which...
Do you know, he's phenomenally highly rated by quite a few people.
Yeah. He's very good at Bath, by all accounts, when he was there.
Yeah, do you know the story about him at Bath?
Yeah,
He got caught up with the whole drugs thing. He wasn't involved with the drugs, for the record. But it seems like when they cleared house, he's like, do you know what? you can go too. It's kind of what I'm guessing happened. But during the whole saga, he was the coach on the phone to everyone. I think Steve Meehan jumped on an aeroplane and went home back to Australia for you know, a month or two. And that's reading between the lines. I don't know exactly what happened, but he's very highly regarded by all the lads that played underneath him.
And if he's I also want to give Matt O'Connor credit, because that guy has put up with a monumental amount of stuff, choosing my words, from all quarters, and rightly so.
Yeah,
his team have been really poor. Yeah. But if this is the start of them turning a corner, should also give him credit for that.
Well, if the start of them turning the corner, they should bin him off and put Mark Bakewell in charge. save the money.
Now, we did say on last week's pod that the Leicester Tiger boys had a night out last weekend.
Did we say that?
We did. They had the Peaky Blinders night out.
Yes, of course.
And their unity and togetherness as a team was exemplary. So, well done, Leicester Tigers, for doing that.
And Peaky Blinders.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I credit Killian Murphy for that win at Saracens.
Exactly.
And it was uncharacteristic of Saracens. A lot of errors, not confrontational as you would normally expect. But this is part of a wider storyline that's emerging. This is a weird Aviva Premiership. We've had Exeter had a wobbly run and then looked really, really strong. Saracens had a wobbly run, then looked really strong, and now have had another wobble. But Exeter are struggling as well at the minute. It's Wasps had a dodgy run and now are starting to look strong. There's no side which has strung together a significant amount of form, except for Newcastle Falcons.
There isn't.
Who are in fourth position.
And only one win behind both Exeter and Saracens.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, is that right?
Yeah, they've won 10, Exeter and Saracens won 11.
And this is they've matched the number of wins that they got in the Avicii Premiership last season already, with six rounds to go. The last time they won five away games, which they did with their win at Harlequins, was when they won the inaugural Guinness, or no, what was it called? What was the first Premiership? Courage.
It's the Courage Leagues. Oh, this is a good one. It was the Courage Leagues, then turned into the Premiership. So when I first started watching, it was Zurich, then it was Guinness.
Might be Zurich Premiership.
Was it Alliance? So, right.
Oh, no. Pilkington, that was the Cup.
Yeah. So as a rule of thumb, okay, it's going to be one of two. It's going to be a mega insurance company. God knows why insurance and rugby merge, but it just does. Or alcohol.
Beer brand.
Yeah.
Which is an amazing thing. I was having a chat with someone today who was telling me about the names of rugby league stadiums, because a load of them have given up naming rights.
Oh, okay. I'll have a go at this.
Yeah, go on. No, there's like a mega wicked stadium or something like that.
Oh, yeah. is that not Castleford?
Yes, I think it might be.
Mega Wicked.
I can't remember what it's called. It's like
WKD Stadium. I think
it's not WKD. It's the name of a vaping company.
Oh, like VIP Vapes or something like that.
Brilliant.
So the name of... I'm going to look at... You keep talking about rugby and stuff. I'll find out some rugby league grounds. Or is your computer quicker, Phil?
I'm trying. The Jungle.
Yeah, the Something Jungle. That was one of them.
So that's Castleford.
What's it? But what is the company?
What's it branded as now? Sponsors, here we go. Mender Hose became sponsored in 2014.
Who?
Mender. So this just goes up to 2014.
Mender Hose Jungle is the Castleford. So mend a hose. If you have a hose that needs mending, go to Mender Hose Jungle.
I have a hose that needs mending, as it happens.
I've got a list of them here, right?
Just let me go back to Mender Hose.
Yeah.
I've never, ever considered hiring a man to mend my hose.
I know. I just buy a new hose.
That can't be what the business is, can it?
Well...
We're going down an alley here.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll quickly run through a few more. So Tetley Stadium is Dewsbury Rams. Fine, that makes sense. Fox's Biscuit Stadium is the Batley Bulldogs.
Who else could that be?
Oh, Leicester Tigers.
Leicester Tigers, yes.
Yeah. There is the Crown Oil Arena, Rochdale.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's
good.
The Zebra Claims Stadium.
Oh.
Workington Town. Oh. Menderhose Jungle, Castleford Tigers. There is the Select Security Stadium, Widnes Vikings. There is Halliwell Jones, I guess that's a car dealership, Warrington Wolves. the Totally Wicked Stadium, St. Helens. It's a vaping company. God. Totally Wicked Vaping,
that is horrible.
I think it is. Yeah.
So St. Helens' chairman is actually an incredibly wealthy man who brokered the deal between HSBC and Midland Bank, which is where all of his money's from.
Wow.
Yeah, and he's now...
now got a stadium called the Totally Wicked Stadium.
Totally Wicked Stadium.
Oh, that's horrible, isn't
it? How tragic.
Anyway, we were trying to think about... Anyway, Newcastle are doing well.
just to clarify...
Oh, sorry,
Menderhose. So it is a misleading name. They are an industrial hydraulics company.
Actually, that doesn't make sense, doesn't it? That's the hose I need mending.
Yeah, you don't take your garden hose to them.
All right, so I'll just tell you a quick story about branding. Remember that I fell off a zip wire and impaled myself on a tree once? Remember?
How could
I've
we,
pissed my bum on a spike!
How could we possibly forget?
Yes, well, that put an end to one of my projects in work. And God knows why work puts up with me, but some reason they do. I work for a company called Pearson Solicitors. And this was my idea because I quite
JB's
like,
not a solicitor, by the way.
I'm not a solicitor.
I trust you in some...
I'm a financial advisor.
In some litigation prosecuting. You would be one of the most... You'd defend some really unscrupulous characters with no...
Happily.
Yeah. Yeah.
for the right amount of cash. So, I like watching fighting. I like MMA. And I also like doing things. So I decided it'd be a good idea to put Pearson Solicitors on the shorts of two MMA fighters. So
nice.
Yeah, so the idea was Pearson Solicitors, personal damage claims. Sadly, I fell off a zip wire and that never happened. I'm taking these two lads from the... Like, can you imagine taking two lads who make their living fighting? They're from... the rough streets of Oldham, round the offices of a law firm to meet to the partners.
They'd fit right in.
Yep, that's what we did.
Do we have to consider Newcastle Falcons as title contenders now?
They're in fourth.
We're 16 rounds in and they're in fourth.
They are in fourth.
Well, if they're in fourth, they're definitely a title contender.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Toby Flood is doing great things there.
It's taken them a while, though, hasn't it? And they've done it kind of the way I would hope that you do it, which is you start with who started last year, slowly bring him in, and then if he's good enough, he takes over, and he has.
I did like Dean Richards when he was asked after the game against Harlequins. They said they made a comment on where he is and where do you hope to finish. And his actual phrase was, I read it in the rugby paper. I think I'm right in saying it. I'll find it. Oh, yeah, here we go. Dean Richards said... Richards refused to get carried away, though, adding, "I honestly don't give a toss where we end up, as long as we play as well as we can."
Well, do you know what? That is quite a Rob Baxter approach, isn't it? It's all about the performance. You play well, everything else looks after itself.
Baxter would be slightly more subtle than that, I think. Yeah.
Well,
but, yeah.
I love the way they play. They've got this massive, huge unit as an inside centre outside Toby Flood that...
Matavesi,
yeah. That take, you know, big 17 stone lump running hard lines that just ties in defenders, and that gives a bit of space for those two incredible wingers.
He can play a bit as well, Matavesi. He can play 10. He can legitimately play 10.
Yeah. And they've got... So you look at their pack on paper and half of them you've never heard of.
Yeah, which is brilliant.
But, yeah, which for one thing, it means they're spending money elsewhere, but... They are... That pack can mix it with the best of them.
Well...
Because they're well-drilled.
Kyle Cooper is turning out to be one of the players of the season.
Yeah, it was either... They got him from the Sharks.
Yeah.
So, I always think about teams like that. I mean, if you... A very fun game to do is to pick a team of individuals who used to play for that club. So, you know, for instance, if you pick an old London Irish team with all the guys that they let go.
Yeah.
You pick a Sale team with all the guys that they let go, so on and so forth. If these teams just simply hold on to the products that they produce, not only do they get players slightly cheaper with academy credits, so on and so forth, they actually get good players. And that's all that Newcastle have done. They've kept hold of the guys that they've put through a system where usually they would have lost them.
And added Sinotti, Nicky Gonover, Toby Flood.
Mm. Toby Flood brought him back.
Josh Matavesi brought him back, yeah.
Well, these guys don't actually fit the narrative which Newcastle are telling everyone else, but they're their goal is to recruit players who are from the local area because they think they can get a discount on them coming up. They need something else other than just raw cash. So if they go off the Toby Flood, well, that's relatively easy because he's from the area. Another guy would be the prop. What's his name? He came from Bath. Was in England for
Davy Wilson.
Davy Wilson. You know, that's the idea.
And it's not a bad tactic.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But then Memos, I don't.
I think he is.
He's from Sunderland.
Sunderland, yeah.
Just up the road, not a strictly Newcastle.
Gateshead.
No, that's Newcastle.
Right.
And it might even be Middlesbrough, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And Gonniver was born in Morpeth.
Yeah, Redcar, mate. Forge family.
And Sinotti, you know, 15 years ago, you'd have found him on a bank holiday in Whitley Bay, getting on it.
Yeah,
yeah. Not anymore. Have you ever been to Whitney Bay? Whitney Bay.
I have. I've been there on a bank holiday. It is absolute carnage.
Good God.
Yeah, I've been on a night out in Whitley Bay.
Yep, been there.
It's a sight to be seen.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I think I've been there on an August bank holiday.
I went for a rugby tour.
Yeah, I was there. I've been there on an August bank holiday.
Has anyone been to Whitney Bay which wasn't on a rugby tour?
Yeah, mine wasn't on a rugby tour.
Was it not?
No.
What on earth were you doing? Were you lost?
No, it was. I had some friends in Newcastle. I went to see them, and it was kind of, you know, you have that sort of kitsch value. And it feels so middle class saying this.
Yeah.
It's like going, should we go to piss up to Blackpool just for the crack? It was like, should we go to Whitley Bay? God, it'd be fun. Oh,
well, I will tell you how middle class Didsbury Talk H is, right? We had two lads down.
Ding.
Yeah. We had two lads down the other day. And the trainer was like, right, do you want to come back on Tuesday? I said, no, I can't, mate. I work shifts. I work in the jam factory. And to a man, like the two people around me, we thought the jam factory was like a name of a trendy bar. It never occurred to me people work in jam factories.
That is a great name for a bar.
Yeah.
The Jam Factory. Barista, yeah?
It's on Canal Street, right?
Exactly.
Oh, brilliant. Whereas Newcastle are surging and really are putting themselves at Harlequins, well, it's just more of the same. I'll tell you what, listen to any one of the last few weeks' domestic podcasts and copy and paste what we said this week, because they are in an absolute mess.
Yeah, it's not great. A team that is, well, one below Harlequins in the table and have been in a mess, but seem to get their act together this week, Northampton. So they were leading for the vast majority of this game at Sandy Park, and it was only a last-minute Toot Tank Waldrum try, followed by a conversion by Young Simmons, that won it for Exeter.
So just looking through the team now, I mean,
Rob Horn was outstanding.
Rob Horn is outstanding.
Luther Burrell was outstanding. Luther Burrell, since he's come back from injury,
Big Luther's has great.
Is playing better rugby than I've seen him for years. Well, Ben Foden as well. Mm. These guys are actually starting to play again.
Ben Foden actually, he scored an amazing try a few weeks ago
against Clermont.
Yes, that's a
world class try.
Like Ben Foden at the start of the season was a little bit of a byword, you know, for joke really.
Yeah, and for past it.
Yeah, but I'm completely with you. I'm just looking through the teams. Exeter didn't go easy on them.
Oh no, it's not far from a full team.
Now, did I hear that a certain Don Armand might have scored a try?
Yes, he did. He showed what a great step and go that was.
What a player!
See, he's not just a truck it up. Kind of guy. He'll do whatever job you need him to do.
He's not at all a truck it up kind of guy. If you speak to Eddie Jones, though.
No, he's not very good in heavy traffic. He does that against Montpellier. Yeah, but he doesn't really have that explosive, pace. So he's not going to break tackles. He'll step someone and score a great try.
Exactly. Yeah. He could probably stand at 10, distribute if needed be. I mean, it wouldn't be the best use of his skills, but he could do it.
We could go back to Zimbabwe and play for them now because they've got an international team again.
Yeah, that's amazing news.
With what's his name?
Kurt Seer
coaching him.
Really,
Alistair Kurt Seer. Yeah,
a proper international team.
Yeah, and
we're yet to see. But
Brian Majati tweeted a quote tweet. Well, basically, Alistair Kurt Seer sort of messaged Brian Majati. I think I'm right in saying this. He messaged him saying, "How are you doing? You're right." Or basically, I don't know if it was a direct message that Majati then posted a picture of. But he posted a picture of it and said, 10 years too late, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, grow up. Grow up, Brian. Well, just do it.
I think I'm right in saying he did that.
He's now capped, isn't he?
Well, so you'd have to do it. I've always thought about this. You'd have to do it as an uncapped game to start with. Just get the boys back together. Maybe do it in, I don't know, whenever there's an opening hand.
I want to check that Brian Majority did do that, or whether it wasn't a screenshot that someone had doctored.
No, I'm just trying. Flights to Zimbabwe. 491.
Just popped a Bulawayo for a weekend. Live podded Bulawayo.
Harare.
If they actually get a decent fixture against someone, I will go to that.
Go to Zimbabwe?
I would do that, yeah.
I'd go to Namibia to watch Zimbabwe play in Namibia.
Well,
it does
seem like that would be the natural opponent for them to start with.
I'm just looking at Brian Majority's Twitter account, and
Madagascar.
He's been I can say that categorically he has been tweeting about football.
Yes, he's a big Chelsea fan.
Yeah, he was a Chelsea fan and said, "That was a goal, FFS. Where is the video ref?
Who cares?
Wow, that was really shit."
So, what did they do? So Zimbabwe immediately phone up. Oh my God, what a team. I know we've gone through this loads of times. You immediately phone up Exeter Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you bring down their three.
So Ewers, Don Armand.
And Horseman.
Yeah. You can't play Denton because he's been capped, but you can get Mike Williams over. So you've sorted out four of your back five in some way. Mike Williams has to play in the second row.
Yeah.
I bet they get a great team.
Yeah.
I mean, already.
Mike Williams.
Yeah. Williams is in the row. Majority. There must be some others.
Hold on a minute. Oh, it's too late for the likes of Dave Denton, David Pocock, and the Beast. Oh, so maybe it was. Others. Dave Ewers is one. Mike Williams, Don Armand, Marco Mamma is still eligible.
Marco Mamma.
Yeah.
That's most of the ones that are mentioned in this article here. But yeah, interesting.
I'll go to that.
But but as you mentioned, Exeter Chiefs, by contrast, they'll be so grateful to get a win, because what was it, three straight defeats in the league?
Yeah, that would have been four straight league defeats.
And Rob Baxter said, "I'm wondering whether a few guys are just a bit afraid of what they might give up, rather than having the absolute drive to go out and win it, which we had at this stage last season. I think it's a mental that's a mental factor we've got to kick ourselves through." So he's wondering whether the tag of champions and feeling the pressure in a different way, rather than looking up the mountain, you know, desperately wanting to scale it. That it's just a slightly different approach. He thinks they might be suffering mentally.
Well, if there's one man that will solve this mystery, it is Rob Baxter.
Exactly. Yeah. Another Zimbabwean-born player, another back row,
obviously,
who's playing some excellent rugby, Sebastian Negri, the Italian six.
Is he really?
Yeah, Zimbabwe-born.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, all we need is halfbacks. We need halfbacks.
George Gregan, was he? Was George Gregan Zimbabwean born?
Yes, he was.
Pocock, obviously.
Pocock is.
That ship sailed.
Yeah. We can't use them. There'd be loads of lads in.
If they'd have done this a little while ago, Byron McGuigan could have played for the team. Oh, no, it was Namibia, wasn't it?
Namibia.
Not Zimbabwe.
I think he's happy where he
is. Yeah, I think he's quite happy.
With his current situation.
I think he's quite happy.
Other games this weekend? Anything worth mentioning?
Well, I'll tell you there's one thing. I'll tell you there's one thing briefly worth mentioning. The sighting panel deciding that Gabby Lovabalavu deserved a 4-week ban and a retrospective red card for the tackle on
Sam Hill.
Yeah, well, it isn't, and that's the end of that.
Well, Dai Young was very disappointed with it and said, it's amazing that the panel came to this decision. I'm paraphrasing here. I'm not saying exactly what he said. It's a shock that the panel came to that decision when supporters, the players...
It here.
Basically, everyone else.
An international referee, his touch judge, the tackled player and others surrounded him, management and staff of both clubs, plus many experienced TV pundits and rugby supporters all see the same way. It's hard not to question the outcome.
Yeah, I'm with him.
I think it's a good statement. I think it shouldn't have been a penalty, in my opinion.
Agreed.
The only thing I'd say, Dai Young, don't put your statement should not have included rugby supporters, because rugby supporters, as many say one thing will be saying the other thing. And you,
oh,
you
God, there's potentially, so many.
If you follow the whim of rugby supporters, you create a rod for your own back in future.
Completely agreed.
The statement and the intent was correct.
And looking at, again, the way some people talked about Nigel Owens after the England-Scotland game, and the way people, the way that, yeah, if you type in Lova Belavu on Twitter, you will find loads of people going, that was a red.
Yeah, yeah. You'll find opinions in both directions, but other than that, I think we are all, and the vast, vast majority of the rugby fraternity is aligned on that one.
Yeah. Even Sam Hill is.
Yes, yeah.
But and I don't like that Nick Wood got some criticism, because he was the guy who cited it, and he was formerly of Gloucester, and it just so happened that
and formerly of Sale.
Wasps were playing Gloucester were playing Wasps next, so he was unavailable for that game. It was an independent citing panel that took the decision to ban him for 4 weeks. Nick Wood's decision.
Don't worry about it.
It's just But
those two played Gloucester and Wasps,
25 apiece. Another late try.
So there's three. So Bath, Exeter, and Wasps.
All when the clock was in the red.
Yeah, to get additional points. It was. There were three good finishes those games.
Yeah, and the guts of Wasps to take the ball from their own line and then score and get the kick from a difficult spot. Jimmy Gopeth.
Yeah.
I mean, who would you want anyone else in that scenario?
It was reminiscent of the Exeter quarterfinal.
European quarterfinal.
If you had one kicker to kick for your life, Jimmy Gopeth.
Yeah.
Or Steenson.
Gopeth. He's done it. Both have done it. I like Gopeth. At least he's like walloping it. At least your pain will be over if you know you're gonna. It's done quick. It's done quicker. You haven't got a second of hang time as Steenson's.
You wait and find out if the flags go up.
Gopeth just wallops it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I'll take that. The Wasps team was. What was it? Depleted. It was just depleted at 10, actually.
Yeah, Rob Miller started at 10.
I think that's the second game he started there for them. He played against Worcester earlier on the season. I think they won against Worcester. So it will help him, of course, having Jimmy Gopeth at 12.
Do you know who's the most successful kicker in this season's Aviva Premiership? Percentage-wise, this is.
It's going to be someone silly like Billy 12 Trees.
Owen Farrell.
No one know.
AJ McGinty.
AJ McGinty, yeah. It is, yeah.
When's he back?
Not long now. He's just started running.
Are you thinking fantasy rugby draft?
Yes, I am.
No, this is a genuine question of interest.
So Wasps showed some guts to come back and score. Gloucester have looked good.
I think Gloucester's starting to fade.
Well, that's what I was going to... I don't know why I did that little lip smack then. That's kind of what I was getting at. It's... If you're going to push for top four, it's the kind of game you've got to hold out and win, haven't you?
Definitely.
Guys, looking at their team, they look like they were pretty stacked. They've got to start winning again, especially at home. I mean, a win over Wasps would have been massive for them.
No, I am interested to see... So next season, I know we often say this, but next year... Ackerman will have had a full year with Gloucester. He'll have a full pre-season. He'll have an opportunity to bring in who he wants to bring in in the summer.
Hansi von Rensburg and Franco Mostert, the lock.
Yeah. Is Franco Mostert? I've not even heard of him.
Lions lock.
Mm. Sailor interested in him. I'm surprised you haven't heard of him.
No, I'm not. No. I imagine Rensburg is going to come to Sale, though. That would be my guess.
Not for his old coach. Not go to Gloucester.
Hard to say.
Take your Sale hat off and see what you think.
Well, I do know that he's best mates or very, very good friends with Faf. Very good friends, which is how it happened in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like, where do I want to go? Do I want to go with my old coach? And the boys love Ackerman. I mean, they all love him. So
I'm not surprised. Those thighs.
Where do you want to live? Is it Manchester or is it Gloucester? It depends what kind of lad he is.
Right, yeah, if he wants a really rich and varied nightlife, then he comes to Sale. If he wants a full firing stadium,
You've also come to Sale.
To go to Gloucester.
He struggled, Sale's away games occasionally. We'll see him at a full firing stadium.
Yeah.
Boys.
Well, it's a statement of fact, Jimmy. They've got the lowest average attendance in the league.
And it's growing. Look, that's the thing.
They don't have the smallest stadium. That's irrelevant. Their attendance is so low because they've reached capacity and they can't get any more in.
No, the roads have reached capacity. Now there's new infrastructure. Now the Diamond Lane is open. Everyone can get there nice and easily. In fact, if you're in the Northwest, I would recommend that you come because it's brilliant.
Now, Phil, when you're planning, because you're a quantity surveyor, in case you didn't know, that's Phil's job. When you're kind of planning big works and infrastructure and stuff, is the normal plan to, for example, build a sporting stadium and then 5 to 6 years later build a road which eases access to that stadium?
Incredible, isn't it?
So I can tell you I'm working on an airport at the moment.
In Manchester.
Okay. And we refer back to, so it's constantly referred back to, the disaster that was Heathrow Terminal 5 in about 2005 when it opened and no one had tested the baggage handling facility.
The
whole thing just shut down. The whole airport, no one could handle it. So we now have a written into the contract, a 3-month operational readiness assessment testing. An acceptance testing.
This is literally like going out for a pint with Phil.
An ORAT period of 3 months to test exactly what infrastructure is in place so you don't get disasters
But that's the kind of modelling you do before you move to a stadium.
You would think normally.
I think they do that with stadiums. I think they open up with small events and they gradually build the events up to capacity.
So that's why Sale are playing at the AJ Bell.
They're still
building up to capacity.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and it kind of hit a bit of a bump. About 5,000 more.
Yeah.
But no, the new road is excellent.
No, it is. And do you know what? I happened to drive back from... Where was I driving back from? I was coming back from Stoke really late at night. And the M6 had loads of shut lanes, so I ended up going down the A57 and I drove through the new road system, and it's really good.
It is, isn't it?
It is really good. But, yeah, this is so boring.
So boring. Right, quickly.
So the Sale game.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, and I tried...
Another last-minute converted win.
I had Sale to win this by 10 points.
I thought Sale would win it.
This is an absolute gut punch to Sale because I think with that goes any ambition of top four. They had to win it. They just had to win it, and they couldn't get it done.
And Baths, again, we talk about this every week, but it's so astonishing the quality and the value they're managing to eke out of these mid season signings. Cooper Vuna, Will Hurrell. Yeah. And young Englishman James Wilson at 34, after being released by Northampton last year, and a single training session at 10 was brilliant. Enough. Was brilliant. It was man of the match. Amazing.
You know, I've always liked James Wilson as a player. Yeah. Always liked him. I thought he added something to Newcastle.
Northampton
every time he played. Never saw him as a 10, to be fair.
No.
But he was pretty skillful.
He had one training session.
Yeah.
Which is enough to beat Sale, which is just ridiculous.
Which is a bit worrying, I guess.
Isn't it? So if they'd won that, they'd be right in the fight for fourth. But it looks like top six is the...
Yeah, they dropped down to eighth now.
It's so close, though. It's so close.
Yeah.
I think
they are a few points off now because of Leicester winning, because of Gloucester picking up... the draw winning.
You talk about the value of Bath's mid-season signings, and I completely agree. However, you look at, bearing in mind, they will be spending as much as any other club.
On Sergio Parisi.
They will be spending as much as any other club, and the side that they managed to get out on the field is...
It's not good enough.
It's not good enough.
So there's two things going on here, isn't there? Which is, if you're picking up mid-season signings, you've obviously not planned well enough. I know people will point to injuries, so on and so forth. You're also paying probably a bit of a premium because you need to get in a guy immediately. So they've got the whip hand on, you know, on how much you pay them.
So some of them, yes. Probably Hurrell and Cooper Vuna, they're going to have to give a bump to get over there. Mm. Someone like James Wilson, who didn't have a contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. He was doing nothing.
Yeah.
And now he's starting 10 for Bath.
He was working in the jam factory.
What a bar.
But, yeah, fair play. It was a really... it looks like a game that would have been great to watch. I don't know whether it was a comedy of errors or whether it was just really enthralling, but 33-32 with a last-minute conversion.
I'm looking through the Sale team, and there's simply no excuse for losing this. Well, something which is very, very encouraging is Luke James, who's the brother of Sam James.
Well, I was going to say that's the excuse for losing in the sense that neither side had a fly half.
Do you know what? I think Sam James is a good fly half. People disagree with me on that, but I actually do think...
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's a good fly half. He's
played fly half. James Wilson's got years of playing top flight rugby under his belt, whereas...
I'd be interested to see who's got more appearances in the Premiership, actually. Sam James is a pretty constant performer. But yeah, you're right. He isn't the starting ten. But this isn't an excuse to lose.
No.
He is good enough. Some other interesting things the other interesting thing for me was the appearance of a certain Cameron Redpath on the bench.
Oh yeah. So is he a fly half?
He is a fly half centre, something like that. Who is English qualified and will probably play for England. Yeah, I've got nothing more to say about that game.
No.
So that's most of the Premiership covered.
London Irish got a win.
Yes, they did. It's so frustrating that they get the win. Brilliant. It's so frustrating they get the win when it will have very little effect.
Can we just go back to Sale for one last thing?
Of course.
A transfer rumour of Mike Haley going to Exeter.
Going to Munster.
Munster
is the new one, which is fascinating because I thought England A qualified him as English now. Full stop.
No, he played in a non-test. He played against the Barbarians.
He played in South Africa against South Africa for the Saxons. Yeah, which is a
designated next team, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think that ties him to England.
I think
Mike Haley.
I think if I was
really
yes,
yeah,
I'm sure it is,
right.
Yeah.
It's your second team. Unless they've dedicated the under-20s.
Well, you can
I think
nominate.
You can nominate one or the other.
So it tells me...
Because I had it because of Don Armand. Don Armand played for the same team on the same tour to South Africa. So I thought he was tied to England. Yeah.
Is there a limit, whereas maybe if you tie yourself, but if you haven't played a capped international in a certain number of years, you're then available again?
I don't think so.
I know, no rule like that.
Because there was the loophole of playing the sevens circuit, but World Rugby closed that.
Yeah. You'd have to play sevens because the Olympic qualifications or some such nonsense.
Yeah.
Now, I actually think something else has gone on here. I think
that
reports...
he's looking for a new contract and they're trying to get his agent to sign up.
No, I think the reports are mistaken because I believe if there was a player in Sale that would move overseas to Ireland, it would not be Mike Haley, it would be Will Addison. And I think there's been some.
Who is Ireland eligible because of his Northern Irish mother?
Yeah. And I think that is more...
Mike Haley is Irish eligible because of his grandparent.
If he's not. Okay.
But from an Irish point of view, I reckon they might have said something along the lines of, we are interested in a Sale player, and they've put Mike Haley together with Munster. But there again, they lost a prop to Munster in pre-season.
Yeah.
So, maybe. But I think it's Addison.
So we've done the London Irish.
London Irish
got a win.
Does it mean anything?
12 points is now the gap, not 16, which with six rounds to go, that's three wins more than Worcester they've got to get.
Three wins more. Yeah, that's
in six games. They've got to get three wins more than Worcester.
Is there anyone else that they can catch?
Worcester were tremendously disappointing in this.
Yeah,
having strung a few very good results together recently, they were pretty poor.
You know what disappoints me about Worcester is the standard of player they have and the perennial underperformance that they give. So Worcester are not a team that struggle for talent. I've always said this. I always think that they're pretty stacked for talent, actually. They just struggle. The mindset of the club is wrong. Like, you know, some clubs put on a shirt and they play better. I mean, historically, that would probably be Leicester or someone like that.
Well, how many years ago was it that Worcester came back up? Is it 2 years ago?
Yeah. The one against Bristol.
Yeah, so let's just put it in that context. Worcester were in the Championship 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And now they have the same number. They have one win less than Northampton and Harlequins, two wins less than Sale, and are pretty much safe in the Avicii Premiership this year. I don't think that's a bad...
they are still rooted bottom. I mean, that isn't good.
They managed to finish above Bristol last year, and they're... Yeah, I know they're second bottom, but they're... if you're looking at incremental improvements, they're not in a relegation dogfight at the moment. I don't think they'll be drawn back into one by London Irish. And they could, with a couple of wins, finish above Quins and Northampton.
Yes, they could. And if they do, fair play to them.
Yeah.
But Northampton, Harlequins and Newcastle, those two teams, Harlequins and Northampton, got relegated and then won the league post-relegation. And I think Newcastle are the last
ones
to
do it. We're in a different age now, aren't we?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we are.
And then Newcastle are currently fourth. And I think, what will this be, like the third consecutive year that they're going to finish second to bottom? So
with everything that's going on off the field, and we were predicting that Worcester would get relegated at the start of the season.
We were.
Well, it's one of two, yeah.
Yeah, we were saying one or two, but we plumped for... After week one, if you remember, London Irish beat Quins at Twickenham.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking like Worcester were going down. So I don't think it's as terrible. And bearing in mind everything that's been going off the field where their very existence was being questioned.
Yeah, well, there you go. But for me, they're disappointing.
Yeah.
This week was very disappointing. I think if you take the season as a whole, it's not too bad. Although, with some of the talent that they do have, particularly outside backs and someone like Hughard,
I always think, what's that film? Is it Al Pacino?
It is. Ooh-ha!
It is. Sense of a Woman.
Yes. But like you've just been saying about, look at so-and-so's side, it's not that good or whatever. Like, this is Jamie Shilcock at 10, and then you look down the pack and it's not Darren Barry, Fayo Salivia, Sam Lewis, GJ Van Veltzer. I mean, it's not Jack Singleton, Ethan Waller. These are players that other clubs didn't want or are relatively unknown. So that I think the criticism is a little bit over the top. I don't know what you would really expect of the players they have.
Maybe. Right. Have we done all of the games?
The Avicii games, yeah.
All the Avicii.
Do you want to talk about any of the of the Pro 14?
I'll just mention...
Do you want to talk about Ulster, getting absolutely spanked by Scarlettsville?
Well, the three teams that I support, in no particular order, are England Rugby, Ulster Rugby, and my beloved Canes, Hurricanes.
Ulster. Did you mention Ulster?
I did mention Ulster. I'm glad you're paying attention to me.
I am.
All three of them lost. England and Ulster roundly beaten. Kane's very disappointing performance at the Blue Bulls. One of the best tries you'll ever see by two locks was scored by the Blue Bulls, though. If it's worth catching the highlights just for that.
Leinster hammered the Southern Kings. No surprise there.
What?
Where were the Dragons playing this game? The one where Richard Cockerill said they had to walk 100 of... Oh, Eugene Cross Park. Who plays there?
Goodness me, that's a question.
Eugene Cross Park. Ebervale.
So they played at Ebervale. And, yeah.
Well, I've got bad news. The Italian spring seems to be over.
Yeah,
a loss 19-22 to Connacht. That was a bad loss, and at home, I thought they were going
to
do it.
Yeah, and Zebre lost at home to the Blues.
What a joke!
Ospreys narrowly beat Cheetahs. That was a good result for them.
Gee, so if
new head coach is going to be Robbie Fleck.
So if Benetton had won on the weekend, my beloved Benetton would be on the same amount of wins as Phil's beloved Ulster.
That's not really saying much, though.
It's an absolute write-off of a year for Ulster. For Ulster,
but, but it is a write-off of a year. But they're still in fourth. They only need to jump up one place, and they're in the playoffs.
I'm going to say it again, and we say it all the time. There are still some reasonable players out on the field, but I hate that Munster v Glasgow. I would sit down and make a point of watching that.
Yeah,
but
I would. Yeah, I know exactly where this is going because I say it all the time. Yeah,
ridiculous.
Completely agree. They should take the time off.
Agreed.
Yeah, especially now that they're in this, the two leagues of seven.
Yeah,
and they have to like manufacture extra cross games in order to get the 21 fixtures of the season.
Exactly.
So they could just cut out five games from the season.
Do you know what I think?
It's no problem.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? I think eventually they're going to get so used to this conference system, it's going to feel so natural. The problem is with the conference system, it didn't feel natural when they introduced it. So they're worried about losing derby games, so on and so forth. And do you put all the Welsh teams together, or do you put... however it goes. When they settle down, I think the derbies will become less important to them, and they'll be able to get rid of some. The rivalries
only
between the clubs.
If it does the job of making the TV money increase, so yes, it doesn't matter so much about the gate receipts. But
yeah, because the gate receipts of derbies, they're the only ones where you get the boosted gate receipts. Because they're the only ones where people can travel.
But they've got like that. The Scottish teams play each other three times or something? Ridiculous.
I think they all play each other three times, don't they?
No, because the Welsh teams will play each other. They have all their derbies. Because there's four teams, same with the Irish.
Yeah,
but with the Scots, they have less.
But don't they have their derbies with the Italian teams? Because you get the stupid posters from Edinburgh.
It's more than just a game.
More than just a derby. Yes. Or more than just a game, yeah, whatever it is.
Yes, it's an expensive trip.
Yeah.
but it was interesting hearing Rob Carney talk ahead of the Ireland-Wales game, saying that actually the Pro 14 has given that particular international game an edge because there's the rivalry between players and between like Ospreys and Leinster or Munster against not Dragons whoever
Munster
Scarlets
against Munster against Dragons in 5 years times when Dragons are all conquering.
Yes,
I can't wait for that.
But it adds a bit of an edge, so maybe I hear what you're saying, but I think the derby matches are the one thing that I would not want to lose
through
the conference system. But as Phil's point, you can cherry pick the extra games that you build up.
Yeah, you play whatever it is 12 games in your conference, and then just another four derbies or something.
Well, I'm just going to reiterate it again. Even with the international period and all the teams being shorn of all of their players, still the best ever season of Pro 14.
Yeah, agreed.
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 And the fact it's coincided with... Well, it's going to be one of the most exciting Avicii Premiership seasons, but it's probably at the top end one of the poorest. I don't know.
There's no defining team, is there? And like, we've always had a defining team, whether it be one of the less...
Well, it's the same three, Exeter, Wasps, Saracens.
But they're not as dominant as they
were. No, they're not dominant.
No, they're not.
So the top-end quality is not...
What has actually disappointed me for the past few seasons is you have had a predictable top three for the past few seasons. Also, for probably the past four or five seasons, by Christmas, you've known who's going to get relegated.
Yeah. Well, they need to get rid of it. They need to get rid of relegation full stop.
Which is a very separate conversation. But it would be good if you just didn't have such a chasm between the team relegated and everyone else.
Bristol coming up will be the first team that haven't had to wait until May to do their recruitment.
Very good point.
Yep.
Very good point.
They can seal promotion in the next couple of weeks.
Can I just ask a question? Does anyone know anything about Ealing Trail Finders? What's going on down there? They're currently second in the league. They're signing players still. I mean, is there intention to get promoted? I mean, obviously not this year, but next year.
Do they have the capabilities in this infrastructure and stadium? Would they have to move somewhere else, like London Welsh did when they went to Oxford.
Well, you played there, have you not?
I've played against them. I never actually played down there because a lot of the time I was playing.
No, I'm not playing. I'm not. Didn't play. Different league. Dealing.
Yeah. Wow. It just seems like a strange development. They're doing very well. Apparently, they've got a very high regarded coach, and they're signing players. So they're obviously ambitious, and they're second in the league.
Maybe one year. Maybe they'll. Well, London Irish have Mick Crusson, is it the? I don't know, chairman or chief exec or whatever it is, CEO. He said that he's losing, I don't know, $3 million a year, or did he say something like that?
Yeah, if they go down, they're in real trouble.
Yeah, well, this is it, and then maybe someone like Ealing Trailfinders might actually smell an opportunity and like, let's go for it, let's have a crack.
So. Well, they're going to have to be better than both Yorkshire, who aren't doing so well this year, I don't believe, and London Irish, but you know they're going okay. They could potentially do it.
Mm. Interesting. So, yeah, should we look at this weekend's fixtures?
Do it.
Let's do it. So,
have you got them, Phil?
I have.
Of course you have.
Shall we run through very quickly the Pro 14?
Yeah.
We have got Friday night, Southern Kings host Dragons.
Ugh.
Dragons against Southern Kings?
Oh, this could be entertaining. This could be in a farcical nature.
Should play the Benny Hill theme tune as you're watching it.
Dragons.
This is a 5:30 kickoff on Friday. So if you're home from work early on Friday, you could possibly stick that on.
So two wins. God, that's disappointing, isn't it, considering the Dragons are going to win the league next year.
have the Kings won a game yet?
No, they have not.
Hmm.
And they've got a points difference of minus 423.
Wow.
Which is outstanding.
Yeah. So this could be their first win. Then Cardiff host JB's beloved Benetton.
Yep. Cardiff can get absolutely smoked.
Benetton.
Smoked.
Give me Benetton.
Yep, 100%.
Edinburgh host Munster.
I'll go Cardiff.
What? Why?
home. Hmm. Home.
Wrong choice.
What was that one?
Edinburgh host Munster. Edinburgh, who've thrown a few good results together.
They have, on 11 wins.
Hmm.
Not only one behind Scarlets in their conference, third. So they could cement a playoff position. Is it top three of each?
Something like that.
Yeah.
I need to check.
I think top two get a bye and then the next two
play, so it would
play
be
off to play
third
the top
in
two.
One, play second in the other.
Yeah.
At the second positions.
Yes.
Venue. Right, okay. Munster.
Okay.
Well, that's yeah, interesting. That's,
maybe I'm going to go for Edinburgh.
Edinburgh at home.
Yeah. What are Tutors doing this week?
And we'll come on to that in a second. Ulster host Glasgow, which
okay.
Glasgow are so depleted, but still a pretty good team.
Yeah, and some of Glasgow's best wins this year have been without their players.
Yeah,
because they get to play Matawalu,
yeah,
and nobody knows what's going to happen. Nobody, not even him.
Glasgow 12 points clear in their conference at the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, Glasgow.
Yeah, Ulster hardly lose anyone, and still can't do anything. So give me Glasgow. Then on Saturday we have Scarlets against Leinster.
Oh, tasty top of the table clash. But why are we watching this in an international week?
Yep. None
Ridiculous.
Of them have any of the players.
I don't care. I don't care.
They might get a couple of reservees back, but yeah, seriously depleted.
I should care because these unknown Leinster players are going to be top Irish international players in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Let me say, in terms of badges, I love the Leinster badge and I love the Scarlets badge. Their colour with just white writing, both of them. There's only two colours on both the Leinster.
The Leinster's
badge.
The harp.
The harp.
Yeah,
thing, right?
But it's only two colours.
So
it's
gold and
no, white.
Is
white,
it?
White on blue.
Or blue on white.
No, white
other?
On blue.
What? I'm sure if you went to a website which had a white background, it would be blue on white.
Oh, that's a good point. It might be, yeah. Yeah, you've got a good
so
point.
So it'll be both, whichever.
And then Scarlet's is the same.
Yeah.
Nice and clean and easy.
Last few fixtures. Zebra host Ospreys.
Zebra host Ospreys.
Ospreys.
Right.
And then Cheetahs host Connacht.
Wow.
Cheetahs.
Yeah, definitely. So Cheetahs win this, and they're going to be pretty much cemented in third place.
Yeah.
Which means they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's outstanding.
Yeah.
Now, if they get a playoff at home, which
is unlikely.
If they're in third, unlikely.
No, you're right, actually. It looks like they'll have to, I don't know how it all works, probably go to Munster?
No, they'd probably go to, I assume, Scarlets. They'd go to the other conference, cross-conference.
No.
Right, by next week, I will know what the playoff system for the Pro 12 is.
Yeah.
I promise you that.
But Cheetahs getting into the playoffs in the first year is a massive success.
Yeah, it is.
To the Avicii.
And let me quickly pick... Oh, yeah. Very easy. Very, very easy game of the week for this.
Yeah, I know one you've picked, obviously.
So, Friday night, we've got Harlequins hosting Bath, which could go anyway. Yeah. Give me Quins to correct the wrongs of the last few weeks at home.
Yeah, I'm going to go for... I think Quins at home.
James Wilson to create some magic alongside Anid Brew, Will Hurrell, Cooper Vuna, and whoever else that they pick up on a mid-season loan deal.
Some Argentinian prop.
Yeah.
This is, I mean...
Lord Baelish.
They've pretty much blown it.
Yeah. Lord Lucan.
This is pretty much... they've pretty much thrown away their chances, but this is top six or bust for Quins. They've got zero chance. I mean, they've already... staring down the barrel anyway, but
yeah, I think it is already beyond them. But
oh, hang on,
if they lose this,
I know you say it's obvious which game of the week is, but there's another one here which looks very, very interesting.
Well, let's just go with the one that I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So on to Saturday, we have Gloucester hosting Newcastle.
That's the one.
Which will be a very... I agree with that.
That is tasty.
It is a tasty game.
Bloody hell.
So these are 2 points apart in fourth and sixth place, separated by Bath. Gloucester at home, Newcastle on the road. But Newcastle proving this weekend that on the road doesn't mean anything to them this year.
Nope. It does mean something to Gloucester, though, doesn't it? Gloucester
being at home. Yeah. Gloucester at home are a better team.
Oh, man, this is tough.
I think Gloucester will be hurting from losing it at the death against Wasps.
They drew.
Oh, yeah. Losing the win at the death.
Yeah.
And I think Gloucester are going to win this.
I think Gloucester as well.
I do think Gloucester as well. Narrowly.
Ooh, that is exciting.
Then we also have Northampton, who had a much improved performance, hosting Sale Sharks.
I would have gone with Sale, but I actually think Northampton for this now.
I think Northampton.
Yeah, Northampton, they do appear... What's his name? Alan Gaffney does appear to have done something. Getting more out of the talented players that he has at his disposal than was previously.
Agreed.
Then on Sunday,
jump to Sunday,
we have Wasps hosting London Irish.
Wasps.
Which, yeah.
Get your fantasy rugby draft players for Wasps.
Yes, unfortunately. Unfortunately for London Irish.
Yes.
Because it would be nice if they could get... Because another win makes it a lot more interesting going into the last few games.
It does.
I can't see it. And then Worcester hosting Leicester.
Well, if Leicester played the way... like the way they did today...
And if Worcester... Well, sorry.
If both teams play like they did today,
well,
or on Sunday.
Who had the
a few days ago.
Yeah, several days ago.
Who had the worst weekend of rugby this week? Which individual?
Which one player? Ooh.
What you got one in mind?
Yeah, definitely. George Ford. Completely anonymous for England, but also Matt Tamua seems to be doing a far better job than him. At 10 for Leicester.
Tamu's kicking wasn't great, but...
Neither's George Ford's.
Yeah. You're right.
He's so dangerous.
George Ford was anonymous.
Like, I think Austin Healey was saying it pretty much, Tim. Someone was saying it, that when they have the two of them, they just want to get them both involved as much as they can. Whereas when there's only one of them, they don't have that real problem.
Well, equally, when they were playing together, I think in sort of November time was when Leicester had an upturn in their performance.
Well, Cast game is the one that I'm thinking of. Cast at Welford Road, they played sensational rugby for first half.
And actually, you just go, well, obviously Gareth Owen got injured, so we wish him the best in his recovery, but... all being fit, you could go Gareth Owen, so you can go on the bench, and we'll have Tamura at 12 and Ford at 10. That sounds sounds like a massive upgrade. I don't see the downside of it.
Yeah, I don't see.
But I think if you've got a 10 who's winning, don't move your 10.
Nah.
And another thing you often say, money plays. And the Ford, Tomua, Tuolagi are the most expensive players at that club. They'll be on the...
Honestly, if they're fit, they'll be on the pitch. Let's say it was the end of the Six Nations now and Gareth Owen was fit and available, which he probably won't be with a dislocated shoulder, so he won't be. And then George Ford suddenly arrives back. You're telling me you're going to go, sorry, George. You're going to start on the bench.
What I'm saying is, if he's back today, he definitely plays. But if come... So we've got this round, then we've got two more rounds. Is it two more rounds or is it some LV or something?
No, there's two more rounds of Avicii Premiership and then a break.
And then a break because Six Nations is on and then they're back into it, right? So if they continue to win and they win well and Tamua plays well at 10, I do think that there's going to be questions.
Well, I think
there's only one more round before the
break. There's this round, then there's a break for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Then by which time the Six Nations will be done.
Yeah. Six Nations is done. I think there's an argument to say if George Ford has played 5 games in the Six Nations, why not rest him? If Tamu's doing well. But with that said, the game back is Leicester hosting Wasps. So I don't think they will. I think they'll play their strongest possible team.
Absolutely.
So, Worcester-Leicester.
Oh.
If Worcester play like they did and Leicester play like they did, it'll be an absolute beatdown.
I'm going to go for Worcester at home.
I think Leicester.
I think Leicester are going to batter them. Just look at this weekend.
Houhardu limped off. Didn't play last week because of an ankle injury and limped off. And they struggled to get any control over a 10.
They beat Exeter a couple of weeks ago.
I know.
So, staggeringly.
This week, they were abject.
So staggeringly, Leicester with a 5-point win could move themselves to fifth.
Yeah.
And they were eighth not so long ago.
Yeah. Very tight. And then the final game of the week.
Go to leovegas.com, get your app there, get some
betting and stuff. So let's talk about this game.
they sponsor Leicester Tigers and they help us out a bit. They're great. Go to leovegas.com and get the mobile app. Bet responsibly, over 18s only. And our bet of the week is on...
Exeter hosting Saracens.
Wow.
Now, I can't see Saracens playing as poorly, anything like as poorly as they did this weekend. Even if their injuries are as bad as they might be, they're going to play better than that. Because their team unit and their cohesion and their coaching and all of the good stuff that Saracens do will kick in.
They have got big holes in the back row now because potentially Callum Clark and Sione Veilanu are unavailable.
Yeah.
Which is who's next cab off the rank? Ben Earl?
Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
Ben Earl, who's impressed, albeit in Anglo-Welsh Cup games.
So, I've got a funny feeling about Exeter that there might be something that they're doing which has been kind of figured out. I don't know if I said this on the podcast or to you boys prior to the podcast.
You did 2 days ago, I think, on the podcast.
Did I? Right. Having said that...
No, you haven't actually said it. Because I think a couple of days ago he might have said it before we started recording another podcast.
Ah, right. Yeah, so I just got a feeling that, in the analyst community who look at these things in far more detail than we do, that there's something extra to do with their system or the way that they've been playing. And someone has figured it out, which is why Exeter have gone on a run of bad results. Now, with that in mind, whatever all these other teams will know, Saracens also know. And... Yeah, it's a close shave against Northampton, which prevented them losing their fourth in a row.
I think, which is just
ridiculous for someone who's a team at the top of the table or second in the table. On the other hand, Saracens are not pulling up trees.
Poor performance against Leicester, and they lost 7 games in all competitions in a row in November, December.
Christ, it's like watching Dragons versus Southern Kings.
I'm going to call bullshit a little bit on the whole analysts working stuff out because...
No, wrong.
Because that's the... No. Exeter haven't changed the way they've played, and they've played the way they've played for several years. And as you say all these clever analyst people have worked this thing out. It's like, well, what do you think professional rugby clubs do? They have analysts and they have game tape and the players sit around and watch. They know exactly what Exeter do. It's not new. And figuring stuff out, I'm not buying that. I think as with England at international level this weekend, as with Saracens against Leicester, actually, any team, if they're 5% off, can be beaten.
So,
and I just think it's small things. I don't think it's a tactical. No one's nullified Exeter. It's just Exeter aren't quite playing the way Exeter
can play.
Well, I don't
think necessarily have people been watching Exeter, because people have been watching Exeter for a long, long time. It'll be the team that Exeter have played against who figured something out or did something interesting. That will be who everyone copied. So if you see a good move or a good structural system in the Premiership, by next week everyone else is doing it, because that's the nature of the analyst role. And like you said, all these clubs have analysts in house, and I think that's where a lot of rugby now is won or lost.
Yeah, but then I'll counter that by saying I think that's what England did with their line out maul against Scotland. They saw France get loads of change out of catch and drive, and so England tried it and got nothing. At all,
yeah. So interestingly,
so I'm not so sure about this.
Right. So interestingly, this is like the weakness of analytics, right? I think, because I was speaking to a coach who was coaching one of the Welsh teams, and they were saying that they used all the stats from last year to model how they're going to play for this year, because a certain amount of penalties are given in a certain amount of areas, and they know when the penalties will be given, and so on and so forth. And my argument to that would be, that's great to do that, but what you want to be doing is then you want to come up with that game plan and give it to another set of analysts, because presumably if you're all working off the same information for next year, you want the game plan for next year. Does that make sense? You want it to be playing 2 years in the future.
So it does make sense. I think it's almost looking at it way too simplistically.
Go on.
As in, it's assuming that every team in the league is going to be playing one way and a set way, whereas teams play very, very differently. Even week to week, you look at the way that Leicester played this weekend compared to the way...
And it assumes all other variables are constant.
Yeah.
And if you think about, like, if you start the season and everyone's got the same set of stats, they'll presumably build systems or use their systems to combat that set of stats or take advantage of it.
But they'll do that differently.
To beat the system.
But they'll be doing that differently for each team each week. And even depending, so if Matt Tamu is playing fly half compared to George Ford, Leicester are going to play in a slightly different way.
They're going to kick a bit less.
Mm. Yeah. So I think it's just, so I like the principle. I think it's just far too simplistic.
Well, that's
to
what
make.
I do. I would hire two coaching staffs, one to plan the original game plan, and then my A team to plan the plan to beat the plan.
Whereas I think what Mark McCall and Rob Baxter will do and have based their success on is having a philosophy, a style and coaching which focuses on what they do. And
well, interesting to say that, because the philosophy behind Saracens is very statistically driven. In fact, they employ KPMG to do it for them, or whoever it is, Deloitte. I mean, that is the philosophy. It is about analytics and very, you know,
yeah, but
very
you
careful.
But you can't tell me the Saracens have altered the way they've played. They had that one shift where they went from the box kicking and kick chase game, and they sort of developed that a little bit gradually. But them and Exeter have been so the two most consistent sides in terms of the style that they play.
I think with Saracens, you can see a clear development from when they started this process to where they are now. And you're probably seeing a small reversion back to what they were maybe 2 years ago, or trying to get there. That's what I'd say about Saracens. But yeah, generally speaking, you're right. They're good because they're consistent.
And they focus on themselves.
Yeah.
So as much of the... You talk about...
Well, Saracens have the stats, you know, for like each referee and how long they have in seconds before they give a penalty for holding on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how detailed it goes.
But speaking to the Saracens guys, they do get packs on the referees. They do get packs on players. I think the majority of the stats they get is on themselves. And the work that they're doing and where their weaknesses are and where their missed tackles come from and where their successful carries come from. So they do.
And Alex Anderson talked about that with a couple of injuries in their back row. It affected people were in slightly different positions than where they would anticipate themselves
Didn't Jack
being.
Noll say to you, this is a massive.
Who, sorry?
Jack Noll, that's a massive name drop there. That they targeted Saracens on their sixth phase because that's when they thought that they would get.
I can't remember what that was, but.
I like that.
No, if you let them get something like the success of break, they break down into six phases.
They start
if you can keep them working for more than six phases, then you're more likely to turn the ball over and or whatever. I can't remember, but yeah, I can't remember where we were going. But Exeter,
I think there's something going on with Exeter and the way they're playing, and I think teams are figuring whatever they do out. And I also think that Saracens are not playing particularly well, so I can't really call it. Exeter by five.
Well, the one thing I'm saying on that to conclude is if people are only just working out the way Exeter are playing, then they're stupid. Because if it's as easy as working it out, and then therefore you can beat them, then why weren't they doing it 18 months ago when Exeter were playing exactly the same way?
Who knows? Exeter by five.
I think Exeter will win.
Yes, I agree with that. Exeter by five seems to work.
Yeah, Exeter by five. There you go. Get it on leovegas.com.
Perfect.
Analyze that. Right. Have we got any other business? This time, in 2 weeks' time, we will have finished our live show.
Oh, my goodness me. In Madrid.
Yeah. Downfall 2018. Not the England one. Us doing a podcast in Madrid.
Yes.
So, we've not actually spoke about this, but for those people who unfortunately can now not make it to the podcast because they've got a flight out of there, is there a facility on Billetto, that's the ticketing site, to get their money back?
The answer is yes, there is.
Perfect.
And I'll make sure it does happen.
So yeah, if you can't make
minus administration costs.
If you can't make it, come and say hi to us in O'Neill's on the Saturday afternoon.
O'Neill's.
Oh, everyone will be going to the game too.
Come and say hi to us at the game. We'll share a beer. We'll talk the usual crap that we talk and get your 10 quid back or whatever it is from
and also Billetto. We'll see you at the game as well, and also go and make sure you get your tickets because it sounds like they're selling up fairly quickly.
Oh yeah, if you haven't got your tickets, go to the Spanish Federation of Rugby. You'll need to be able to translate it, Google Translate or other translation
apps
facilities. The tickets
or just learn Spanish. That's another way of doing it.
Yeah.
Learn Spanish, like Gavin, and then go to the website.
Like Gavin Doyle is doing.
Yeah.
Very kindly for us. The tickets were about €13 each, something like that. So they're dirt cheap. There is unfortunately no VIP this time. So you can't get cream deals and Romanian wine.
No. And I have got to the bottom of the qualification scenario.
Yes.
So Spain if they get 9 points from two remaining games against Germany and Belgium, they will have qualified for the pool with Ireland, Scotland, Japan, and
they've got three remaining games at the moment.
But the Georgia game doesn't count. Because they're only competing against the other teams in the because there's a Six Nations table, which is this year, which Georgia are going to win, and then there is a World Cup qualification table, which includes the five teams apart from Georgia.
Okay.
And Spain are currently top of that by one point.
Thanks to their win over Romania.
So if they get 9 points, then whatever Romania do, they can't be overtaken. So Belgium, they would expect to get a bonus point win. So effectively, the game we're going to watch, if they manage to get a win against Germany, that is probably the biggest hurdle for them to get over to achieve qualification for Japan. If they get a bonus point win against Germany in the game we're watching, that is a huge step,
isn't it,
towards them getting to Japan. And as I say, they'll be in Ireland, Scotland, and they'll be playing against the hosts in Japan. I mean, it'll be a huge moment for Spanish rugby.
Amazing.
So
Spain.
And then the other team in their group will be either Romania or Samoa, who will probably play
go
off
through to the into the repechage.
Yeah! Wow, that's incredible. So I've got my Spain tie now.
I've got a Spanish coloured tie.
No, an actual actual Spain tie.
I couldn't find an actual Spain tie. I've just got I think it's a school tie from somewhere in the UK, but it's navy blue with yellow and red.
Very nice
stripes, and I've got a little Spain blazer pin.
Oh, nice!
Awesome.
Will you be having any Spain attire on?
Germany, maybe.
Maybe some German. Well,
just remember, we are doing another live show in Zimbabwe when they finally get there.
And we'll be doing 6 weeks of live shows in Japan next year.
Yep, and a few for the Sevens World Cup in San Fran.
Yeah,
So.
LTBP.
All that stuff. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.